Sitting at a table in Applebee's, Lindy England looks like anyone else, eating a roast beef sandwich and French fries for lunch. She's grown out her hair since 2004, when her photos were plastered on newspapers and websites around the world. She's wearing a hat, an attempt to hide her identity. But her face is the same, round, freckled, with small eyes and a large smile. She can't change that. She says she's recognized, even when she tries to hide.
Oh, yeah, everywhere I go. I guarantee you, when we were over at Applebee's eating, there's people looking. I notice it. You might not have. I'm used to it by now. I don't really think about it, but I notice it still.
England's hair is streaked with gray, even though she's only 26 years old. The past 5 years have aged her in a lot of ways, she says.
Well, I've definitely been through a lot of crap. People only learn from their mistakes, and as many as I've been through, I've learned a lot. I mean, I just feel like I'm, like, middle-aged. I really do. So, I've always been married, divorced, had a child, been to a war, been to jail. I mean, so many things that people, you know, do one of those things, you know, in their life, and I've done all of them.
After the scandal broke at Abu Ghraib, England became a household name. Her only authorized biography came out in June. It's not the first book to take on the abuse of prisoners in Iraq, but England says it's the first to tell the story through her eyes.
I wanted to find a way to get my side of the story out. I know it'll be hard to change the opinion of everyone out there in the world of me, because when the pictures came out and the media ran off with it, it's like I became this villain monster among the army and stuff. And it's really, I'm not like that at all.
It's hard to picture England as a monster. She's serious, but quick to break into laughter. Her face softens and she smiles as she describes the latest antics of her 4-year-old son, Carter. But there are those photos. In one, England stands holding a tie-down strap attached to the neck of a naked prisoner. In another, a cigarette hangs out of one corner of her mouth as she grins and points to a prisoner's genitals. These scenes were just a regular part of life for the soldiers at Abu Ghraib, she says.
Yeah, I mean, it was just normal, everyday activity to us there. I mean, when we got there, we just took over. You know, that stuff was happening before we got there and after we left. It was like passing the baton.
For England, the abuse was never at the forefront of her mind. She was 20 years old and in a war zone. And she was in love. Her boyfriend, Corporal Charles Grainer, exercised a lot of influence over England. She describes him as a photo nut, and when he asked her to pose for pictures, she never said no.
It's like, I didn't want to do what he asked, but I didn't want to disappoint him at the same time because I was afraid that he would leave me or, you know, not be there. He was a former Marine. He was in one war already, and he was kind of like my security blanket over there, I guess, back in my mind, and I didn't want to lose that. So when he would bring up the whole issue of doing this or that, and he'd be like, well, if you love me, you'll do this. So I would do it under protest, but I would do it, whether it's being in a picture or taking a picture.
In the prison, England's job was similar to a human resources position at a large company. She checked prisoners in, verified their information, fingerprinted them. She wasn't even supposed to be in the cell blocks, but she visited Grainer there often. England witnessed the abuse, but says she never participated in it.
They wanted me to be in some pictures, and I was in a picture. You know, if you really pay attention to the pictures, you can see, you know, I'm not wearing any gloves, so I never actually touched any of them. You know, I never actually had any physical part of any of it. If you actually read my charge sheet, I was charged with everything by posing in a picture. That's all that I was found guilty of, was by being in a picture. That's all I did.
There were 6 other soldiers who faced prosecution from the scandal at Abu Ghraib. Grainer was sentenced to 10 years in prison. England received the 3rd longest sentence.
And I got a dishonorable discharge and 3 years. And if you read my charge sheet, it's all about posing in a picture. I mean, some of the others that got actual assault charges got like 6 months in jail and a bad conduct. I mean, I don't even understand that. I don't know how that works, but for some reason they just decided to give me longer, I guess because my face was out there because the media did that.
While she was in prison, England gave birth to her son, Carter. They gave her maternity fatigues, she says, and she wore boots until almost the end of her pregnancy, when her feet were too swollen to fit. England says Grainer is Carter's father, but he has never acknowledged paternity. In many ways, England blames Grainer for what happened to her, but she says she doesn't entirely regret meeting him.
Well, it's kind of conflicting because, yeah, I don't want to be with him anymore or anything like that. And none of this would have happened if I wouldn't have met him. But somewhere out there, the powers that be wanted me and him to get together for this, that moment in time to conceive my son. So Carter's supposed to be here for one reason or another, and I wouldn't change that because he's my son. I wouldn't want him taken away. Even after all the crap that I've been through, that's the one positive that I've gotten out of all this.
Now, England's days are mostly spent taking care of Carter, who is almost 5 years old. She's tried to get a job, but says the felony charge on her record, as well as her notoriety, scare away the few employers in the Fort Ashby area. She says she's not sure how she's going to explain the past few years to Carter. He's seen pictures of her in the newspaper, and pretty soon she thinks he'll start asking questions.
I have all the newspapers that I've ever been in, thanks to my mom. So I'm going to make like a scrapbook, so when he's old enough to read and comprehend things on his own, you know, I'll have a scrapbook there and he can look through it. And I don't want to like force his opinion or anything, so I'd rather him look at it and read it and understand it for himself and have his own opinion.
Public opinion hasn't been kind to England since 2004. Part of that could have stemmed from the fact that in the past she hasn't seemed sorry for her role in the scandal. Now that time has passed, England looks back and tries to explain the bigger picture.
Yes, I regret that the pictures were leaked because that cost a lot of lives, coalition forces' lives, because the insurgency spiked once they came out. You know, the main thing is that we got in trouble for taking the pictures. It's not mainly what was done in the pictures, but for taking them. And, you know, it's thinking back on this whole thing right now, it's like, I would want to say that I regret being in the pictures and taking the pictures, but then on another level, I'm thinking, none of this would have came to light if it wasn't for those pictures. All this crap would still be going on, and it probably still is. I would not doubt it. And, you know, all this stuff that came out about the Bush administration would still be secret. The public eye wouldn't know about it.
It's been easy for England to blame the incident on everyone besides herself. The government, a wartime mentality, and Grainer all played a role, she says.
Yeah, I was a pawn of Grainer, and I was a pawn of the government. I mean, I was 20 years old. I was so naive about everything, I swear, thinking back on it now. I was so trusting. Now I'm really weary about who I trust. So, lesson learned. I would say, yeah, I don't know what I would want the world to see me as. I mean, yeah, I was made some pretty stupid mistakes, but what young person doesn't?
But ultimately, England says she realizes she has to take responsibility for her own actions.
You know, at first it was hard because I didn't want to accept it because I was still in the mind frame that I was following orders and it was my duty and, you know, which it was, but I wasn't, it was like I was making excuses, trying to, I guess, I don't know. But now, like, what, 5 or 6 years later, it's like, you know what, yeah, we were following orders, yeah, we were doing our duty, but you know what, that's not an excuse that I'm going to use. I'm not trying to make excuses, and I don't want people to think that's what I'm doing by putting the book out there and stating this stuff. I'm just trying to paint the picture behind that one moment in time, those pictures taken, you know, the frame of mind, the things that were going on behind the scenes, just on my behalf, at least.
England knows those brief moments in time at Abu Ghraib will follow her for the rest of her life. After all, they're a part of history now. And she's struggling to figure out what to do with the rest of her life. She feels mistreated by the army, but she says she still misses it every day.
People ask me why, and it's like, you know, first of all, the first reason that I joined up was because, you know, I'm a patriot and I want to serve my country. The second reason was to get money for college. I can't even describe the feeling of being able to say, yeah, I joined up. I went through basic training, boot camp. I made it. I can proudly say that, you know, I'm wearing this uniform because I earned it. And, you know, I can't wear the uniform anymore. People look at me so different, like they're so ashamed of me because of what I've made the military out to be in the eyes of the world. I don't even know. I miss it.
Were it not for Abu Ghraib, England says she would probably be on her fifth tour of duty right now. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Erica Peterson in Charleston.